Let it play. Let it play. If you know the name of this song, call us at 773-763-9278. That's 773-763-9278. Today is going to be an amazing day. We've got big news here on the show. One more good idea on 820 AM WCPT, Chicago's only progressive talk radio.
The only.
Ladies,
the only one.
Ladies and gentlemen on Facebook, ladies and gentlemen on the radio, today is a very, very special day. I have breaking news. An announcement, so to speak. Besides the fact that we have a special guest in studio today, we'll get to that momentarily. I have breaking important news. Straight from Crane's Chicago business. There has been a promotion in Chicagoland, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Nikos Michaels, the producer and co-host of this show, has been promoted by WCPT 820 AM to be the new director of social media.
I'm not the director.
Woo! Everybody out there.
Not the director. Not the director. That's someone else. But I am a part of the team.
Full-time
part of the team.
Coordinator.
I've done it.
Of social media. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to congratulate Nikos on his promotion, call us today at One More Good Idea at 773-763-9278. George, I'm talking to you. 773-763-9278. Celebrate with us the full-time promotion of Nikos Michaels.
So yeah, if you're on our social media, now you know who is the one who is roasting you if you say some dumb stuff in our comments. It is me. I am the roaster.
Nikos, I'm so happy for you. It's really a great thing. You are amazing at social media, and you deserve to be recognized. And you were. It's 80 degrees in the studio today, everybody.
It's super hot.
It's a little bit colder outside. It is so hot in here. And that's not just because of our special guest. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's weird.
Could you move this way?
Strange.
Move towards me. Move towards me. Move towards me. What are you doing?
I think he wants you to get close.
Here. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us in the studio here. Nope, go back the other way. Here in the studio, in Chicago, Illinois, on Milwaukee Avenue, at 820 AM WCPT, Chicago's only progressive talk radio, the nation's largest progressive talk radio station, is our college correspondent, Josie Newman, everybody! Hey! Josie, welcome to the show!
Thank you.
Josie is our special guest today.
Thanks.
Your cousin Alan Edelman thought you were Talia and said, hello, Talia. But this is Josie Newman, a philosophy student at a university in the Midwest. Yes, we were talking about so many things in the pre-show. Nikos, so many things. Where shall we begin?
Something fun.
Something fun?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of depressing conversation going on.
Were you depressed?
It seems to follow
me wherever. It's not depressing. I mean, there's a lot of, like, in the news right now. I mean, honestly, there's just not. I mean, if you follow anything super, you know, I would say Democratic leaning, like just political news in general, you know, obviously you have the trial going on, and that's, you know, that's the whole thing. And then the MLB saga is still going on.
MLB. Listen, okay, I know where to start. Ready? I will start us off with former Speaker of the House, John Boehner.
Really struggling not to say his name.
Boehner.
Disliked by many.
It's pronounced Boehner.
He came out and he told the truth.
He did. Hashtag truth. Nikos, what did he say?
He called Ted Cruz.
A false prophet.
False prophet. I don't know where this interview came from. I don't know why he came out of his shell.
Reported on the Hill, or from the Hill,
the Hill reported on
news
it.
Organization The Hill reported that John Boehner called former President Trump a what?
A butthole. I don't know. Something. He called him something.
Yeah, a dumb son of a...
I don't have it in front of me.
I think he called him a dumb son of a... son of a... Hey, Joes.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
Do you know who John Boehner is?
No.
Former Speaker of the House, preceded by Nancy Pelosi.
Cool.
Yeah? And then he was... what did he say? He didn't mince words on the Hill, John Boehner. He called the president a dumb son of a bee. The former president, Donald John Trump.
Yeah.
What do you do when somebody you dislike and generally disagree with says something that you agree with? What do you do?
Yes, but no.
Yes.
It was kind of like when Ted Cruz said that funny thing about the... What was the thing that he was being compared to a while ago when he was running for...
Oh, Kevin Malone from The Office.
No. He was like some murderer that was being investigated. Let me look it up.
Okay, you look it up. So, I mean, listen, I did not appreciate Boehner when he was the Speaker of the House. I found him to be... a slave to the corporate agenda. I found him to be anti-progress. I found him to be gridlock personified. But, you know, he's not happy with the current Republican leadership.
The Zodiac killer. And then he came out and when they found evidence about the Zodiac killer, and he's like, well, now he retweeted it and said, well, now you know it's not me. Like, okay, that's really funny. Like, that's really good, but it's like, oh, I dislike you very much. That was funny about Ted Cruz, but also we don't like Ted Cruz. He could be, I don't know, when he's funny. There's like a crying meme next to it where the guy's like angry, but he's laughing at it. Like, yeah. That's how I feel about this man, Boehner.
You know, that whole Ted Cruz thing where in the same breath he says, there's a crisis at the border. There are teenagers trying to get into this country. There's a crisis, right? And so at that moment, the crisis they're referring to were 750 teenagers. And then he puts on his khakis and he goes out at night with his machine gun and his flashlight. And he's like, look, right there in the darkness.
If you haven't seen this video,
there are sex traffickers.
He's literally, so yeah, he's imagine like a safari man. It's all dark. You can see nothing. Right, and he's just pointing a flashlight in the dark, just being like, you can see them flashing flashlights.
They're waving their flashlights.
They're waving their flashlights right at us.
The sex traffickers were at the border. Josie, is sex trafficking on your mind? You and your friends in your Midwest college?
Yeah, definitely. It's something that we think about.
So you go to college in a Midwest state that you've asked me not to mention.
I'm nervous.
You're nervous that you're going to get targeted because you're on a progressive talk radio show?
Well, now that you said that, I'm probably have more likelihood of getting targeted.
Targeted?
Stop saying the word targeted.
Oh, so you think people will be upset with you for being on a progressive talk radio show?
No, I'm afraid that I'm going to be, like, found.
Found? Okay, hey, can we get that music from the opening back up? I want to do a little segment here with our college student correspondent. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Josie Newman, college student. Josie, what do you major in? What do you study?
I am a philosophy major.
A philosophy major. So that means you're a thinker.
Yeah.
Ready? I'm going to list you some subjects. You tell me if this stuff is on your mind.
On my mind.
On your radar, so to speak.
Okay.
Ready? Let's see. Here we go. Other way. Abortion rights.
Yeah, definitely.
Gun control.
Definitely.
Derek Chauvin's trial for the murder of George Floyd.
Definitely.
Immigration policy.
Yeah, sure.
$2 trillion stimulus package by the United States government.
More in the back of my mind, but yeah, I think about it sometimes.
COVID passports.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So would you consider yourself pretty politically astute?
Sure.
All right.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
What's your number one issue?
I would say what I'm most passionate about is abortion rights.
Abortion rights. So, right. Can you help me understand your position there?
Well, I guess just as a 21-year-old college woman in college, I just think that women have the right to choose what they do with their body, and no one else should be able to tell us that we can't.
Yeah, but
it's pretty simple.
Is it not arguably more complicated than that?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
So what about the people who are anti-abortion typically will also describe themselves as pro-life? Are you saying you're not pro-life?
I don't think that they should describe themselves as pro-life, because if you're pro-life, then you care about all life, technically, is what I think. And isn't the woman who's carrying the baby's life also important?
Well, sure, but those folks would argue that when a 21-year-old woman in college has an abortion, one life is being terminated and the other one is not at risk.
The other one is not at risk?
Not at risk.
Okay, well, I would just say that, like, that's most likely incorrect.
In what way?
Like, pregnancy is not just an easy thing that happens. It takes a really big toll on the women that are carrying the child.
Are you saying physically?
Physically, mentally, spiritually. So I don't think it's something that's as easy as one life is at risk and one isn't.
And when you travel to your Midwestern college, university that I'm not allowed to talk about because you're afraid of sex traffickers, what your view of life, what, is more holistic than just conception?
I don't know what you mean.
Okay. That's money well spent. Okay, so you said that you're talking about pregnancy taking a physical toll, an emotional toll, and a spiritual toll.
Yeah.
And I think that when you get into a conversation with somebody who is pro-life, a.k.a. anti-abortion, they focus very much on the life of the fetus, not so much on the life of the host, the woman who is pregnant.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why that they don't consider the person who's bringing that being into the life less important than what they're bringing into the world.
So I think that people on that side of the argument will also argue that when you say that you're pro the right to choose, they say they won't say it that way. They say you're pro abortion. Are you for abortions? Do you want people to go out and get abortions?
No, but I think that it should be an option, and that I'm more pro choice. Like, no one else gets to decide what I do with my body. It's my body.
Yeah, that's an interesting argument. So, do you wear a mask because of COVID?
Yeah.
So the government's allowed to tell you what to do with your body to wear a mask, but not allowed to tell you what to do with your body for an abortion?
Well, I think a mask and abortion are two completely different things.
Yeah, they are. But the government telling you what you can and can't do with your body is the same thing, is it not?
No. One is telling you physically. Wait, I don't. an abortion and wearing a mask should not be compared.
Shouldn't they both be your choice? If you're pro-choice, shouldn't you have the choice to wear a mask?
Yeah, and I choose to wear a mask to keep people safe and myself safe. And I choose what I want to do with my body, and I'm choosing to wear a mask.
Well, the people who don't want to wear a mask make that same argument with that same logic? They're choosing what they want to do with their body?
Yeah, you're right.
Am I right? But doesn't spreading COVID have an effect on other people, whereas pregnancy isn't contagious?
Very true.
Oh.
Very true. Good point.
Okay. Oh, boy. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Josie Newman, college student correspondent from a Midwest university that we're not allowed to talk about because it's in the hub of sex trafficking. So, and we're afraid to be targeted. Josie, what do you make out of the trial for former officer Chauvin, who is accused of murdering George Floyd. Is this on your radar? Is this something that you and your friends and the people that you, you know, when you go to your parties at the University of the Midwest and you are, you know, engaging in imbibing in your whatever recreational use of illegal substances in that particular state? Do you guys talk about this stuff?
The trial, we don't talk about as much as when the actual incident happened. We talked a lot then. But, I mean, kind of what Nikos was saying earlier, like, it seems really hard to, like, watch a trial about something that you know obviously happened. There's video evidence of this happening. And, like, be able to watch people, like, fight about if it actually happened or not.
Yeah. So this is something that we're going to invite people to call in about. Nikos, what do you think? Have people call in 773-763-9278. Maybe you could put up a poll question or something like that, right? The question that I'm interested in is, so, you know, in the pre-show meeting, Nikos and Josie were talking about, hey, I watched this video probably too many times, and I saw one man take the life of another man. How could there be a trial? How could it be they be allowed to make these arguments? And I was explaining to them that everybody in this country is entitled to a defense, right? So the prosecution is arguing that Derek Chauvin ended the life of George Floyd maliciously. And the defense is arguing that while it's true that Derek Chauvin was restraining George Floyd, that his death was coincidental due to other factors, drug use, underlying health conditions, lack of being able to do what they wanted to do because a crowd was watching and videotaping and so forth and so on. And the way that they make those arguments is to impugn the witnesses that are being brought forward. So the one witness, she comes forward and says she saw it, and he says, well, had you been drinking? Well, what does that matter? Well, they want the jury to not believe the witnesses. Right. So they want to convince you that what you saw isn't what you saw and that you viewed it with a filter. You don't know all the facts. And if you knew all the facts, you would agree that while George Floyd died, and it's unfortunate, it wasn't the fault of Derek Chauvin, the man who was kneeling on the back of his neck while he was in a prone position with his face in the concrete, begging for air and for his life. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what do you do? When you are a young person in this country, and this is your very first time that you're actually seeing this borderline nonsense in the courtroom, we saw it before. We've seen this show before. This is the O.J. Simpson trial all over again. It's slow. It's monotonous. It takes forever. It's super boring. It's not at all like the lawyer shows we've seen on TV or movies, right? The lawyers seem unprepared and unenthused. The witnesses are nervous and find it difficult to answer the questions. The judge is reprimanding the witnesses for being emotional. You know, all this kind of stuff. This is actual real court. It's not scripted and produced for television. How do you digest it? How do you swallow it? How do you deal with it?
I mean, you're right. This is the first time, or my first time actually paying attention, but like following a court case like this. And to me, maybe it's because I watch shows like that and that's what I'm used to when I'm watching some stuff like that on TV. But I just feel like there could be maybe this is bad to say, but like there could be a better way to do this, because it seems like it's so obvious what needs to happen to this person who killed this other person. But why does it take so much work and effort and possibility of it not happening to happen?
Does it change your mind at all to know that there were drugs in George Floyd's body?
No, he was still murdered.
Does it change your mind at all to know that he had underlying health conditions?
No, he was still murdered.
Does it change your mind at all that the police argue that they felt that their lives were in danger?
No, he was handcuffed and on the ground, and he was murdered.
Does it change your mind at all that there are laws from the Supreme Court of the United States of America that protect policemen from individual responsibility in cases like this?
That does not change my mind at all. It makes me more stable on my stance.
Makes you more stable on your stance, which is?
Which is that that man should be
is guilty of murder.
Yes.
Nikos, what do you think? I mean, we've got literally three generations of people in this room looking at the same thing with relatively different points of view.
I don't know how many times I've thought about, and I mean, obviously I'm super, you know, entrenched in all this politics stuff. I don't know how many times I sat there and just thought to myself that, say, I was watching this on the street, that this was happening, that, like, I would have jumped in and, like, pushed the cop off. I don't know how many times that I sat there and just thought to myself.
Thought those things?
Yeah, like, I'm just, like, what to think of, you know what I'm saying? I think it's just as, and I don't even know how to put that in the word, but just
like
how,
so obviously something
yeah, like,
was
like,
done.
Like I would have, yeah, like it's just such a bad thing that happened that was happening, and we all saw. I think there's a concept, like especially, I mean, forever and always, good guys, bad guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening there was like villainous, you know. And this is just me thinking upon what you guys were or adding upon what you guys were saying was just. Like, I think what makes a good person and, like, a bad person is just your actions and what you do. And I think that what we saw was something, you know, heinous. And if you're a good person and you're thinking about, you know, what you're watching is just, like, how is that not deemed, you know, he did it on purpose.
You, what you watch, what you see, yeah. What you feel is he did it on purpose. Let me just clarify one thing. I am being reprimanded by my friend Dickie, who's an attorney. I did say that the lawyers seem unprepared. And listen, I know that they have been preparing for months and months and months. I know that this is all that they have done. I know the weight and the importance, and I know they're prepared. What I meant to say was they seem unprepared. It's the page flipping and the looking for questions, the failure of the technology all of a sudden in the moment when it's needed to be seen. It appears. Not that they are unprepared. I do not mean that, and I'm sorry if that is the way that I sounded. It appears unprepared. Like, it just comes off as
haphazard. Well, we've been
watching
it, like, NCIS and that stuff. Like,
right.
Obviously, compared to that stuff, that's not how the real world actually is.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm getting at, right? Like I said, this isn't the first time for me. I watched the whole OJ trial, and I'm going to watch this whole trial as much as I can because I do have a job and I have to work.
I also just want to, like, point out there, like, so, like, what I'm saying about making, you know, making a difference and wanting to do something in that moment, so many more people have felt that same way, which is why all those protests happened, which is why, you know, this whole last summer, so many people felt so strongly about, you know, defund the police and, you know, changes in the system, because they couldn't do anything in that moment. So this is what they're doing to change it.
And also, like, we're all sitting here as white people talking about it. I don't think that it's as big of a something in, like, a black person's mind to say, like, I would have just jumped on the police officer.
Yeah, because, like, they can't.
Because that's just something we have the privilege of even being
right,
able
exactly.
to think.
That's exactly what I was just about to say.
Yeah,
it's like, and I just want to put this in that perspective where it's like, I would use my whiteness to go intercept a situation that's happening. If I saw that on the street, again, it's like hindsight 2020, like, watching what happened, how, like, he died. You know, like, you could sit there and be like, yeah, I would have stopped someone from getting murdered.
Right.
I think anybody in this room would stop. If you knew that someone was going to die and you could, and you had the power to stop it, I think anybody in this room would have done that, right? So it's just that kind of thing where if I saw that was happening, I don't think that would be the first thought, because I'm white, I'm going to go and stop this. But it's something that I think I would have done.
Right.
You know, and again, that's why I think that the people who, especially why people need to understand, like, white privilege is why the people who are the guys who need to, or not guy, but anybody needs to step up and use that kind of, I guess, that privilege to show and make change into why people, why that things like that happen.
Right.
And why it's such a normal, you know, occurrence that, you know, anybody who is black is stopped for these stupid. We just saw one about the army lieutenant.
I have it right here, and yeah. I definitely want to move to that. Let me kind of just close this up because we're coming up to our break. This trial is enormous. I sit and I watch the coverage, and I can feel the weight of this trial pressing in on me. It's like the Rodney King trial. It's like the O.J. Simpson trial, and then some more.
Yeah.
And then some more. The weight of it is overwhelming, and I think that's why I'm being so critical in regard to the perceived quality of the attorneys. And with deference to Dick, my friend Dickie, who is an attorney and lives in that world, a trial attorney, I don't know enough about that world to be able to evaluate it, except how it makes me feel.
Right.
And it makes me feel, I feel like the prosecuting witness, I'm the prosecuting attorney. I feel like he could be stronger.
I think just like just like me, I'm scared that this trial is not going to turn out the way that like I
believe it should.
And so you're probably just worried that like something bad is going to come.
I am. I'm scared. I'm worried. I want more out of the prosecuting attorneys, and I get so angry at the defense attorneys. When they, you know, they have to do their job, they have to provide a defense, they have to go after the witnesses, they have to go after the testimony and the story. We're going to come back with talking about what happened in Virginia to an Army officer in a minute. But let me tell you really quickly about MA3 Insurance Solutions. MA3 Insurance Solutions is our sponsor for this show. Did you know that? You could play that? Yeah, bring it up. MA3 Insurance Solutions. Listen, everybody turns 65 if they're lucky, right? You live that long and you're lucky and you're turning 65 and then your insurance situation changes in this world. Next thing you know, you're getting all this mail from different insurance companies. They want to talk to you about Medicare and Medicare supplements and Medicare Advantage and Part D drug coverage for Medicare. And you get overwhelmed so easily. That's why MA3 Insurance Solutions exists. Armando Alcazar, who started that company, started it because he wanted to help people who were 65 years of age and older to get the right insurance coverage, to make sure that they had access to the doctors that they wanted and that they understood fully how their coverage works. And that's why you need them in your life. Go to MedicareAdvise.com. MedicareAdvise.com. Medicare, ADVISE.com. Talk to Armando Alcazar or any of the other agents at MA3 Insurance Solutions. We'll be right back after this break. Hey, everybody. This next part of the show is brought to you by the Small Business Resource Group at GCG Financial and Allaire Group Company. Listen, if you're a business owner or you have influence on the business owner, what you need to know about the next rest of your life is that employee benefits are going to be delivered in a totally different way. No more getting together, everybody in the same room for an hour meeting so you can learn about your insurance benefits. You're going to have to do it digitally. And if you need help with that and a free online enrollment system, you got to call the folks at the Small Business Resource Group at GCG Financial. You can reach them at area code 847-457-3058. You need a broker. You need a delivery system. You need to get your business into the next century. And you can do that with the Small Business Resource Group at GCG Financial. Area code 847-457-3058. Hey, we're back here. This is One More Good Idea on WCPT 820 AM. Marcus Newman, Nikos Michaels, and Josie Newman, special guest. And we're talking about what's going on in the world. A couple of things. We had some callers. We had some commenters. Here's one from Ren. She says, it shouldn't matter if there are laws protecting police, like the ones we discussed earlier. If laws like those exist and are necessary, they should be about accidents. There's nothing accidental about kneeling on a man's neck while he's telling you that he can't breathe.
Ren said that?
Yeah, I just wrote that here.
Yeah, Ren. Whoa.
Okay, so You know, Lynn Lewis Siegel, she wrote in about a case where a freshman basketball player in Quincy, Illinois, was attacked and beaten by a bar owner and in what can be considered a hate crime. But here's what I want to talk to you about. I'm going to read this to you, Nikos, and then we'll talk about it. Josie, ready? I'm ready for your reaction. This is Josie Newman at the University of the Midwest. She is our college student correspondent. Breaking news. U.S. Army officer is suing two Virginia police officers after they pointed guns at him, pepper sprayed him, and pushed him to the ground during a traffic stop last December for what the officers believed was a missing license plate on his brand new SUV. Suit filed claims unlawful seizure, excessive force, illegal search, violating his First Amendment to free speech, and common law assault, battery, and false imprisonment. So here's the story. Brand new SUV, black tinted windows, has the sticker in the back window that says temporary license plates applied for, right? The body camera footage shows that the temporary license plate is there. The officer, his name, his name is Karen Nazario, who is black and Latino. So he was wearing his fatigues, that, you know, his camouflage uniform. And he repeatedly asked why he was being pulled over. He was pepper sprayed.
And he, asking why he's being pulled over.
Yep. Body camera footage shows the officers exit their vehicle, unholster their guns, point them at the SUV. They decided that he was a high-risk traffic stop, citing lack of a vehicle tag, even though there was one in the window. And that showed on the video. And the vehicle had extremely dark window tint. He said, they asked him to get out. He says, what's going on? They say, get out of the vehicle. He says, I'm not getting out of the vehicle. I'm afraid to get out of the vehicle. They say, you better be.
They said that?
Yeah. I'm reaching for my seatbelt, he says. Before stepping out of the vehicle, the officers ordered him to the ground. You made this way more difficult than it had to be if you just complied.
I have some of that audio.
You want to play it? Did you pre-screen it?
I didn't pre-listen to it, but it's on ABC News.
Let's just listen for a second.
Tonight, two Windsor, Virginia police officers are being sued by an Army second lieutenant, claiming his rights were violated during a traffic stop captured on multiple cameras.
This is from the police car.
Put your hands out the window!
Police body camera rolling as an officer attempts to stop in early December for a missing rear plate on the SUV. Army 2nd Lieutenant Karan Nazario behind the wheel, pulling over at a gas station 100 seconds later and starting his cell phone camera. He had picked a well-lit place to stop, his lawyer says, for safety. He does have a plate, a temp plate taped to the back window of his brand new car. But as seen on the video, the situation goes south quickly as a second officer arrives on the scene.
Put your hands out the window and turn the vehicle off!
More than 20 times, they order him out of the car.
Get out of the car now!
Get out of the car!
Now!
I'm honestly afraid to get out.
Yeah, you should be. Get out!
You feel like your client had a reasonable right to fear for
him. All right, stop. Yeah. I gotta say something about this. Last week, when I was coming to the show, I texted Nikos. I told him I was on my way. I got in my car and I drove. I went out of my house. I turned left. I turned right. I turned left again, and I got pulled over. And the police officer came to my window, and it was a woman, and I handed her my driver's license and my insurance card. And she says, do you know why I'm pulling you over? I said, no, I don't. She said, well, you made a wide turn when you turned onto this one street, and then you changed lanes, and then you made another wide turn. I said, okay. She said, well, where are you going? I said, I'm going to work. And then she gave me a warning.
She didn't pull her gun on you?
She did not pull her gun on me. She did not order me out of the car.
Yeah, I mean, just watching this video, it's like they pulled him over, right? And he's sitting there, and he's answering all their questions. And then the police officer who initially stopped him pulls out his gun and then starts telling him to get out of the car.
Did he go up to his window?
No, he wasn't even by his window.
Why
was just shouting.
He
was just shouting from behind the he was shouting from his car that was parked behind him with his gun out, yelling at him to get out of the car.
Okay, Stephen Covey, who wrote a book called The Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, would suggest to us that we should first try to understand. So let's try to understand. What could this police officer have been thinking? He's thinking, here is a SUV, a black SUV with tinted windows. There may be a dangerous person inside. Is that it? Does he know? Do we feel that the officer knows that the driver of the car is a black man?
Well, we have the attorney comes on right after in the same clip.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, let's see if it clears anything up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Officer Gutierrez kind of backs that up.
One of the officers pepper sprays Nazario and forcibly removes him from the SUV.
Get out of the car!
Nazario was released with no charges. Windsor police haven't responded to requests for comment.
Okay, stop it there.
Okay.
I'm looking at the video. He is wearing his uniform.
Mm-hmm.
He has his fatigues on with the patches that say Army. He is clearly a member of the United States military.
And they don't show the parts of the video where he's talking about who he is, too. He's asking, why are you pulling me over? And they aren't answering him. And then they just go to the pepper spray.
My friend Andy, who's listening to the show, he's our number one fan. He says that it's disgusting, the fear. They're thinking fear, fear, fear. So, okay, let's give these police the benefit of the doubt for the beginning of the story. They see this vehicle. The vehicle is arguably suspicious looking. It's a big black SUV, dark tinted windows. I know. Just the benefit of the doubt, right? So they pull the car over. They go up to the car. Right. There's an exchange. Eventually, they're in the window. Right. They're in the window because the guy gets pepper sprayed. They can see that he's a member of the United States military. He's identifying himself as a member of the United States military. Why doesn't it de-escalate at that point? Why don't the police officers put their guns away, put their pepper spray away and say, thank you for your service. We have pulled you over. We need to discuss why. Why? How does it continue to escalate to the point where this guy is pepper sprayed? I do not understand that.
This is what makes me very uneasy about police officers. I know that the vast majority of police officers are good people that just want to help. But when I see videos like this, and I know that these are the only videos I'm seeing of police officers, it makes me really worry about the people who have power over normal citizens in situations like this, because obviously police officers are in a position of power when they pull you over, when they like are talking to you, asking for your license and registration. But there are people like this who seem to be taking advantage of the situation, taking advantage of their power, and that makes me really uneasy that these are the people that I'm supposed to be trusting with protecting our society.
And this was all just because he was missing a rear plate, right?
Right.
You needed to pull out your gun if you're missing your plate.
Well, you're driving a big black vehicle with tinted windows and it's missing a plate, even though it has a temporary tag in it.
Do I not drive a big car?
That's how it started.
That's missing a plate?
Yes. You do drive a big car that's missing a plate.
So,
listen.
The thing, and this is what's sad, but you have a situation where the thing that kept him safe is his attitude, and he kept his cool.
You're talking about the lieutenant.
Yeah.
Even though he was saying, I don't want to get out of the car.
Yeah, he literally said, hey, I don't feel safe right now. And they said, you better not be.
And then they pepper sprayed him. Like, what? That's not
right. And the whole thing, too, is that, you have situations where they'll tell you, turn off the car and reach for your seatbelt. And then when you go to reach for your seatbelt, then they'll be like, oh, you're reaching for something. And then they'll attack you then. And it's like you
can't do anything right.
Here, well, Nazario, listen to this. Nazario says, I'm serving this country and this is how I'm treated. Gutierrez responds that he's a veteran. Gutierrez is the policeman. He goes, well, I'm a veteran and I learned to obey. That's what he said to him. Gutierrez is heard telling that I was fixing to ride the lightning, son.
Who said that?
That's what Gutierrez, the policeman, said to Nazario. Fixing to ride the lightning. That means he's going to tase him.
And so what happened to this police officer? Did he get, like, suspended,
fired? It says in this article that it's a colloquial expression for execution, reference to the electric chair, but I don't think so. I think he's talking about his taser.
So does anyone know if this man is still working?
I don't. I did not look up
because
what happened after.
That's the type of thing that should not be.
Here, Nazario again asks, what's going on? What did I do? Gutierrez, the officer, says, you received an order. Obey it.
Because he wouldn't get out.
See, but it's that type of, like, order that has gotten so many people killed.
Listen, hold on. Gutierrez, the officer, then tells the lieutenant that he was pulled over for a traffic violation and is being detained for obstruction of justice because he was not cooperating. The body cam footage shows Nazario with his hands up and outside the window as the officers try to open his door. Okay, so here's what makes me crazy is that these police officers are still working.
That's what I'm saying.
If I did something like this on my job, the equivalent, I would be suspended.
And probably not be able to get another job that's anywhere in the field.
Isn't
that
pretty much
working.
A death threat when someone says, I'm afraid of my life, and then they say,
and
you should,
like,
be?
You should
that
be.
Is a death threat, yes.
And so when people say,
pretty sure you should be fired. You know.
Right, and he's probably not going to be fired. Honestly, it's so messed up. I think this is really messed up, and that's just really messed up.
That's a public servant. Right?
Here, my friend Andy says, change this scenario and make the policeman a man in a bar and make the driver a woman. You're given an order. Obey it.
It's disgusting. I mean, I don't understand. These are the people that are supposed to be protecting us, keeping us safe. And it does not seem like that's happening.
So this is my call out to anybody who may be listening to this show because they want to find out what the Antifa radical left is thinking. By the way, that's me. I'm anti-fascist and I'm the radical left. So and this is how I think. How do you defend this? How do you not look at a story like this in light of the weight and perspective of the Derek Chauvin murder trial and not agree that something is broken? Something is fundamentally wrong with the way that we police and administer policing in this country. People like Derek Chauvin, who kneel on the back of a prone man's neck with his hands in his pocket, looking around and doing other things, is the person responsible for training field operatives? A man who's serving our country in uniform can be pulled over, assaulted and pepper sprayed and held, you know, basically held prisoner because the policeman didn't like his car. And then he expressed discontent with the situation. What could possibly excuse this behavior? What could possibly explain this behavior? How can you look at this and not determine that we need to rework the way that we police, the way that we train police, the way that we recruit police? I mean, the way it is now attracts people who have problems. And I want to hear the argument that justifies this behavior. I want to hear from you, from somebody out there, anybody. Maybe you're a little bit further right than me, which is everybody. But maybe you're way right and you're watching or listening to this show so that you can have things to talk to your friends about on Facebook or whatever. Call me, 773-763-9278. Email me, omgiradio@gmail.com. That's OMGI, one more good idea, radio@gmail.com. Help me understand how you can live with this, how you can be a part of this type of behavior, because what you permit, you promote. And if you're not complaining, if you're not calling attention to it, if you're not making the argument that it's broken and wrong and needs to be reworked, then you're part of this. And I know what you're going to say, you people on the right, you conservative whatevers, people. You're going to tell me that I want to defund the police, but you're wrong. I want to fund the police. I want to fund all of the programs that change this in a progressive manner, that I want to start with recruiting, and I want to appeal to people who are compassionate. And I want to refund the training so that conflict resolution and de-escalation are the primary objective. And then I want to remove all of the offenders from the ranks of the police force and replace them with people who care deeply about the humanity of the people that they're serving and protecting. That's not defunding the police. That's probably going to cost more. And where am I going to get that money? From your taxes. That's where. From corporate taxes and personal taxes. And I'm okay with that because it fixes a problem. And that's the nature of progressive thought. We don't just sit around and complain. We sit around and dream of solutions and ways that we can pass those solutions. And what you want, I heard somebody call, what did they call me? A commucrat that soiled my vegan underpants. Right. Okay. If that's what I am, then that's what I am. But this is obviously broken, and it's obviously wrong, and it obviously needs a solution. So obvious that denying that makes me wonder about somebody's mental acumen.
And just to add on, I can't find it, but according to some news outlets, at the end of the whole ordeal, apparently the officers told him they would drop the charges if he didn't report this incident.
Oh.
I don't know if that's 100. I found it on ABC. They reported that. I haven't found a full video of that happening, so I don't assume that they tried to scrub that and they probably were successful.
If that's true,
I haven't found it.
Make me want to soil my vegan underpants. It does.
That's disgusting.
It's embarrassing. You know what? Well,
they knew they did it wrong.
I've done wrong things in my life. I'll even admit that in front of my own daughter. And the thing about when I was doing
they threatened to ruin his military career unless he kept quiet. And then those whole statements about what the police officer was saying about. Yeah. The taser, where we mentioned earlier.
Yeah. I've done wrong things in my life. I admit it. I've done wrong things. And here's the truth. Ready? I knew I was doing the wrong thing while I was doing it. And for whatever reason, I just didn't care. I didn't care in the moment. I didn't care about the consequences, whatever. That's the truth about me.
So then why should you not be canceled, but people, other people should?
I don't know, because those things that I did were 32 years ago.
Yeah, but like people still get canceled.
Cancel me. What? For Josie, who's listening in the first place? Hey, guess what, everybody? Marcus Newman from One More Good Idea on WCBT got canceled. Who?
Adam.
What?
I could cancel you if I wanted.
Come on, bring it.
I'll make a hashtag.
Hashtag cancel Marcus. Listen, it's 8:54 and a half this morning. We're coming to the close of the show, and I want to thank Josie for being here.
Can I give a shout-out to my friends?
Please do. Shout-out.
Oh, shout-out to my friends. Kendall. Paris. Natalie. Grace.
Everybody. And all their parents, too.
Yeah, and all their parents.
All their parents.
And my mom
too.
And my sisters and my siblings.
Grandparents.
Grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins.
Once you open that shout-out door, you can never get it closed.
And also all the people I've...
Your dogs?
Yeah. Oh, especially my dogs.
Yeah. Listen.
Oh, and Meg. And the phones. Okay, I'm done.
All right. Your sister just started a hashtag, Marcus is canceled. Listen, everybody, I just want to thank you all. There is an audience. It blows my mind. There's an audience. There's thousands of people actually that tune into this show and watch this show and podcast this show. Please follow us on social media. Please. We're trying to create a show that discusses things that people care about, that are meaningful to people. We really, truly need your help. Nikos, we're at like 950 followers.
Pretty
we're
close.
So close to 1,000. Please. The show is called One More Good Idea. If you are watching on Facebook right now, please go up to the search, type in one more good idea, smash the like button. That's important. Hit the follow button. But most importantly, there's the three little dots. You can click on the three little dots. You can click on the three little dots and invite your friends to like the show. Please, I'm begging you. I just want to hit 1,000. It's a milestone. It's meaningful to me. We are on Instagram.
You're supposed to say
at OMGI underscore radio show. If it's something you want to do, please, we need your help.
You. That's what the YouTubers say.
We can't
if you like
you
this and you want to see more.
Yeah. We're not asking you to support us on Patreon with money. We're not asking you to contribute to the show. We're just asking for your share.
Yeah, we can't make you do anything.
Yeah, do what you want to do.
Do what you want to do.
If you don't want to share it, then don't. Yeah, but like, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. We could use...
Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you to do anything.
We could use your help. And so, OMGI underscore radio show on Instagram. We are One More Good Idea on Twitter, One More Good Idea on Facebook. Please come join us. And hey, if you have friends and they have things that they need to do and they need something to listen to, they can download our podcast on all podcasting platforms. It's called One More Good Idea. It's got me, Marcus Newman, him, Nikos Michaels. This is our correspondent from a college near you and philosophy student, Josie Newman. Thank you for bringing your energy and your heart to our show. My name's Marcus Newman. I'm going to be back here next week, 8 a.m., right here live on Facebook and live on the radio. Please tune in, share the show, tell your friends, tell your kids, tell your mom and dad to tune in. We'll see you next week with more discussion.